I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Smashbox TV Podcast 476's After Show.
Oh.
Nailed it.
Just together. How we do it.
Woo! Here we are. Welcome in, everyone. In case you don't know what the after show is, it is a long-winded display of Johnny V's beautiful voice and singing talents.
I just sing. I take requests from the chat on the song, and I sing it. That's the whole after show now.
It's just turned into the Johnny V karaoke hour.
Oh, God, yes.
Except for we don't give you any music. Like, no, we don't just, have an
it's
under.
It's all a cappella.
Yeah.
Just me.
Yeah, we could go with that. Well, welcome in.
That'd be a quick way
to end the after show.
To lose all of our subscribers.
Yeah. Well, welcome in, everyone. This is the after show where we'll talk about not quite anything, but close to it. Anything and everything that you really want to bring to us that may or may not be disc golf related. We generally will steer clear of most religion, politics, things of that nature. But for the most part, anything goes otherwise. Or we may completely dive right back into a disc golf conversation.
Mildly related to disc golf, Ace Run Pro brought up a very funny thing that happened this particular weekend about with our producer, Mahmoud Barani.
In case you wanted to know his name before we trash him.
Everyone calls him Mo, but we were... I forget what day it was. It might have been day two.
I feel like
we were showing shots of the crowd. There was this
crowd shots, crowd work.
We do that. There was a cute little girl, probably, you know, 5, 6, 7, something like that, in the crowd. And there's kind of always an internal joke that I think it's fun to show kids in the crowd. And Mo always wants to show animals in the crowd. And that's like our fight between the two of us. If he sees a dog, he you know, even the cameramen know, hey, let's show this dog. Mo loves to see animals. I always think it's fun to show kids the future, whatever. And so we show this young girl, and you're like, oh, look at this cute kid. And Mo jokingly says, yeah, I've seen cuter. Completely joking.
This is internal.
This is all internal in our comms.
Of course. I hear it in my ear as I'm broadcasting.
As you're broadcasting. Just to find out, like, 20, not even 20, like 3 seconds later, Felix, the cameraman from Ace Run Pro, jumps on the call and goes, oh, hey guys, that's my daughter. and Mo, at this point, was just about to go on another joking, like, ah, kids, yeah, definitely not the cutest kid I've ever seen. Like, he was about to kind of go into a short joking diatribe, and I'm here going, Mo, please stop, Mo. So, and then afterwards, Mo goes just to me, he's like, Johnny, why didn't you warn me? I didn't know it was Felix's kid. I just knew that. And Felix has a great sense of humor. Obviously, moment, nothing by it. It was just a very funny, because in the control room, as you can guess, sometimes we make jokes. Sometimes they're appropriate. Sometimes they're not. You know, they're never like vulgar or anything, but we will make fun of players if they do stupid things. We will show each other replays of really bad shots that maybe don't make it to the broadcast. A Ben Calloway one from Emporia Country Club comes to mind a few years ago, where Ben went to like kind of, it was like a 50-foot jump approach, and it went straight right. Like, it caught on his fingers.
I think we did show that, actually.
We didn't show it live, but I think they brought it back in for, like, a social post. But it was not showed live, because even Mo was like, there's no context other than it's a really bad shot. So we do that stuff in the control room, as you can guess. And we try to make each other laugh with really stupid nicknames. And sometimes they make it to the broadcast. Obviously, the Magician of Minocqua was one Mo came up with a few years ago. And I heard it a few times this weekend. Not just from Mo, but I heard it from Terry on the broadcast. I heard it from
Doss
on the broadcast. The Kansas City Kid for Allie Smith. Mm-hmm. That was one that I came up with. Marky comes up with some really good ones. Not always appropriate. But that's kind of our thing. If someone doesn't have a nickname, we try to come up with something. Sometimes we're purposefully stupid. And so that's what we do in the control room. And it's just a yuck fest in here, Terry. A yuck fest.
Maybe you should just get a satellite truck and
fix the
problems. Alfred had asked on the board also, just so you know, the after show is a great place to ask us questions directly on the YouTube chat. That's a good place to do it. If we see it and read it and it's semi-appropriate, or we're mildly smart enough to answer it, we'll try to do so there. Alfred did ask, what happened with the Masters Tour? How'd that go?
They all got old.
Everybody hurts. Here we are. The tour finale for the Disc Golf Masters Tour is happening this weekend in Marion, North Carolina. As many would already know it as, North Cove, where we saw the silver event earlier in the year. It's happening October 19th through the 22nd. So it looks like Thursday through Saturday. Thursday through Sunday. I do not know any more of the details. You can check out the tour points standings here. Oh, looks like I can provide a click or a link for you at least.
There is a PDGA event for it. The tournament director, obviously, Kelly McMoran.
Yep. And what does it show for currently registered players? I don't
know. 102 registered players.
Okay.
20 MP40s. 4 FP40s, 21 MP50s. It looks like from, I wouldn't say all over the country, but it looks like Mississippi and...
Yeah, huge representation.
Yeah, there's one, somebody, Robert Ryan from California, who actually I think drives a truck. So he's all over the country anyway. But it looks like a lot from the Mississippi is what this event is drawing.
A little more Eastern, yeah.
But
Eastern
US. It's, but not bad. Honestly, not bad turnout. For having like a Masters only event, you know, I'm looking at the MP40. You got North Carolina, Maine, Michigan, Minnesota, Louisiana, Arkansas. So Tennessee. Well, there is an Oregon there.
Yeah,
so
Brandon. Yep.
Alabama. So a good mix of Wisconsin. Tim Murphy. Good luck out there. Overall, pretty cool, I would say.
Yeah. So that's what's happening. Unfortunately, that's the extent of what I know at the moment. Ace Runner, are you still out there? I'm going to guess maybe you're involved with filming it this weekend. That seems like something
you guys would be
our heroes for. Possibly. You covering. So that's what's taking place. I'm sure at some point we'll get a catch up from Callie. It was great to hear her early on in the beginning of the year and talk about the Masters Tour forming. Clearly she's been keeping copious amounts of notes as to things that have gone well, some of the challenges, some of the triumphs. I'm sure it's been a little bit of everything, but just the massive undertaking that it is. Big shout out to her and seeing it through all the way to this weekend's. Should we go play?
No, God, no.
You didn't qualify.
Should Smashbox start a Grandmasters tour?
Mm.
We'll let Callie have the Masters. We'll take the Grandmasters.
Ooh. That's a way to bump up the numbers.
I mean, I'm just saying.
Yeah.
That is your
that seems to be the demographic that enjoys my commentary the most.
Yeah, is that
what you're saying?
It was really funny. We were walking through USDGC, Terry and I, and in like a period of like 10 minutes, I think there were like three particularly gentlemen of that age, probably 50 to 60 plus, that walked over, said hi to us, you know, looked at Terry, said, "Oh, I love your commentary, Terry. I love the videos. I've been watching them forever." And it was just funny that it happened so quickly, where I chuckled. I'm like, "Yeah, there's your demographic, Terry, men 60 and older." So, but you know what? If you're impressing the legends of our sport, which all of them were,
what can I say?
You can't argue. You can't argue with that. I think one of them was like, you know, Dave Greenwell. We saw George from the Hall of Fame.
Mm-hmm.
I think Alan Beaver was one of them who showed up. So you can't argue with the quality of the play.
Find me better humans than them.
There are none.
If I have their approval, what do I say? I value the opinions of those whom I respect. And yes. I respect all of those gentlemen greatly. So I'll take it.
As do I.
Nah, you're not what you're saying right now. No.
I do. I'm just saying it's your demo. You're not attracting 12-year-old kids with your commentary.
As hilarious as I am.
I know. As modern as your references are with the Fortnite references you make and
Nailed it. What happened to Alex Russell? We're not seeing him play as much. Certainly not on the tour. I'm not sure if what to be said about that. As I quickly look at his PDGA, still rated 1,003.
Was he at
USDGC? No, okay. It looks like I know he toured around a little bit. He cashed in every event this year except for Worlds. He was in Wisconsin for a little bit. He's played almost all A tiers this year, including places like Michigan. Couple of A tiers in Michigan. He played Worlds. He played in the Lake Superior Open, which I'm going to assume was in northern Wisconsin or over in Minnesota. One of the two, probably. Oh no, Superior, Wisconsin, nearly Minnesota. And that's about it. I don't know exactly what his game plan is.
Maybe life.
He's playing this weekend at the Gatekeeper Media Presents Downey's Players Cup. So he's playing in that, and then in December he's playing the Battle at Bennett Park. So. If you're trying to find him, those are a couple places you can do it.
Good place to start.
But yeah, we're not seeing him. He's definitely not on the pro tour grinding it out week in and week out this year.
He got his tour card, which probably made things a little more difficult. And
Eric on the board says, "I ran into Kevin Kiefer last week. He seems to be making great progress on his rehab and recovery from his injury / surgery now."
Yeah,
best of luck to him. And you're right. You can find him on Instagram. I see him making posts, trying to just rehab and get all healed up. So hopefully he's on a quick mend. I see he just not made lead cards. Yeah, I mean, he hasn't been playing, actually, in a lot of the events. Most of the events that your high-end live covered events, you're not seeing him. He played in a ton of A-tiers and one B-tier and then Worlds, and Worlds being the only one he didn't cash. So that's the update on Alex. Hopefully all is well with him. It was Worlds. It was Worlds I saw him off in a distance, and I didn't get a chance to necessarily catch up with him. But I was going to say, I know I saw him somewhere, but it was at Worlds briefly. As I just alluded to earlier, hours ago in the show, I'm excited. I'll be at the PLO in a couple weeks. The Phoenix Ladies Open is taking place. That's out the second week in November. I know they have a little over 100 women signed up. It's an all-women's event. Crazy payouts, big player pack, all that good stuff. There will be some coverage of it, so I'm working on that. And it will be the 17th annual. And I know Dan and Robin just hosted a poker party this weekend out in Arizona to do more fundraising for that event. So looking forward to it. So I'll be out there. And also, the Chainhawk Open is another event I'm planning on filming in a few weeks as well. So, well, I guess that's the first week of December. But a lot of people talk about the season ending. I guess that's where I'm coming with this, season ending. Now it largely, for myself personally, rolls into a lot of that post-production. I see Gatekeeper's got something going on this weekend. I know Ace Run is going to be grinding out throughout the offseason on a number of other events.
And maybe
it just becomes kind of an A-tier post-production time frame right now for a lot of us.
And maybe for the first year, or the first time in a long time, you don't have a ton of backed up footage.
I really don't, because a lot of the things
very
I
busy with the Pro Tour.
Yeah, a lot of things that worked on. We didn't cover a lot of other things outside of Pro Tour events. Some things that do come to mind include a presentation, which I know a ton of you aren't going to necessarily flock to immediately, but a presentation from Pro Masters Worlds, where we had a little history of disc golf, actually a lot of history of disc golf. And then another one that'll be a slightly separate video from that that I'll release for sure is a PDGA disc going under the approval process in real time. So a company had submitted some discs. Jeff Homburg, who also gave a presentation, went through and literally had the tools, the numbers, the spec sheets, everything else to attempt to approve a disc right there in front of a live audience, so to speak. And I recorded it. So that's, I understand that's going to hit the mark for some, and plenty of others will scroll right on past it. But it's kind of cool to see exactly what goes into an approval of a disc. And Jeff is the guy that does that. So, clearly, you said it earlier that we're seeing some of these outside sponsors, and somebody that's come back and is supported not only our playoffs, but then the Tour Championship specifically is Barbasol.
Which I'm disappointed. I think I only once heard the put it on your face, and it was kind of mediocre.
I limited it this year.
The time I heard it, and maybe you said it more than once, but the one time I heard it, it felt a little bit forced. I would have liked to have heard a put it on your face maybe one or two more times.
Yeah, it was in limited use this weekend. As much as I still do love it and wish the one time where it just kind of pops up and I recorded it last year and it says Barbasol Close Shave America, Close Shave Barbasol or whatever it is.
Yeah,
I wish it was bumper. Just that one was just Barbasol, put it on your face. I wish there was an alternative to that one.
I wish you could have done like Barbasol, Close Shave America, Close Shave Barbasol, put it on your face. Just real, like
actual professional
like
with
actually
it.
Actually,
yeah.
Professionally do it.
Yeah,
and see if Mo would have let it go.
Again, that was the same bumper that we used last year, so it got recycled.
Yeah, but Dust says that's a great slogan. Put it on your face.
I mean, their argument clearly could be that there's, you know, shaving, other things. Sure. I get it. Put it on your disc and your face.
Say disc.
Disc.
Yeah,
put it on your disc.
Very clear about
on
that.
On your disc.
Yeah.
Disc.
Put it on your labrum.
Disc. Exactly.
And as Eric Thickley makes the comment of your joke about Gammon Burr, you threw that in there that you've seen grown men grow or men grow beards in the time it's taken
him
Gammon
to
Burr
throw.
To throw.
I said this. Somebody else.
He was a little pokey at times. He can't deny it.
For one, I want to prove to the world I don't pick on Nico.
Well, you like, do, but you pick on other people.
I'm an equal opportunity caller outer. I have no ill will against Nico LaCastro, and I think some people really think, oh, like Terry just hates that guy. I don't at all. I just want him to play within his 30 seconds. I love Gannon Burr. I just want him to play within his 30 seconds. I like Jacob Curtis. I just want him to play within his 30 seconds. Like, if there's anyone that's slower, you ever hear me making any kind of snide remark or getting a little punchy over it, it's not because I dislike the person. I just want them, whoever it is, to throw within their 30 seconds. And for the most part, the real funny thing about me saying that is everyone agrees. Like,
well, yeah,
but the people that get a little more defensive are super big, maybe hardcore Gannon Burr fans. And you don't need to send any canceling hate mail my way or to the network.
I sent at least two.
Well, for different reasons. Yeah, anyway. Like, oh, I just hate this announcer guy.
Dear Terry, I am directing the show. Well, I should be right now, but I can't not email you.
So, yeah, anyway, I get it. It is what it is.
Now, what would be great is, obviously, Alden and his the vlogs that they do, if they cut to Ganon going into the woods and they cut out to Ganon coming out with a beard, like some sort of, you know, there you go, Terry Miller. I'll show you.
That'd be more 10 more years for him, though.
I mean, he's a guy who doesn't really need Barbasol.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, and here's the other part of it. Ganon is obviously aware. We've talked about it on the show. He's talked about it on the, he's discussed it on camera about his timing. He is well aware of what's going on there. And I think that all kind of feeds into it being so much more acceptable. If it was some kind of like some deep, dark secret that only a couple of us knew about and then somehow is like drudging up some crazy secretive, I don't know, side story or backstory or something in the past or something that's unbecoming in like a serious capacity, I think it would be different. But I take a jab from here and there.
It's your right.
Have you been asked to do Alden's vlog before? I figured they may ask you this week. I was partially involved with Alden's vlog at the beginning of this year when we covered the memorial, and Alden had to drive Ganon over to my hotel and able to do the commentary, of which he killed it and he was really good at and enjoyed it. But he was driven over, and then Alden and them ended up shooting a few things within my hotel and all as part of the experience of being at the memorial. That's the extent in which I've been involved in any of Alden's vlogs. So I don't know if I'll get asked back in any capacity or not.
I don't believe there's a lot of planning in that. I think that's more, I'm going to film a bunch of stuff. Maybe they have a funny skit they have planned or something.
Yeah. But,
and then Alden at some point during the week puts it together, or they come up with something on the fly. Like,
yeah, it's where you are at that point, correct, whether that happens or not.
Which is what I love. I think it's very natural. Those guys are phenomenal at that. And I watch, again, they're the only disc golf channel I'm subscribed to on my personal.
Besides mine.
YouTube. No, I'm not even.
Yes. Eric says, in your defense, Terry, I actually clocked him at over 55 seconds on two holes that were prior to you making the comment. It was justified. I mean, to be fair, and this could be said of a lot of our players that exceed time, there's a lot of time you don't even see. Like, the control room knows the tendencies of players. So the control room themselves, when possible and applicable, they'll trim out. If somebody might, like Ganon, might be standing over a putt for 55 seconds. Or
Ganon Burr and Missy Gammon.
Okay. Sometimes if they're going, you know, they know and it's going to be shown in replay, they at that point can potentially, it's all about resources and timing, but they could potentially trim that 55 second interaction down to the 15 seconds. So you're not actually even seeing a ton of it, just like I do in post-production.
Yeah, not that these people go over their 30 seconds, but we know their routines. Chris Dickerson.
Yeah, are just a little longer.
Just are longer that we can squeeze in a shot. Like, if we know they're walking up to, as one person walks off the tee box, if it's like an eagle or a Missy, or there's a few other players that we already know.
James Conrad,
exactly. Like, oh, we know we can squeeze a shot in here and not have to really worry about the player getting up and throwing.
Correct.
You cannot do that with Isaac Robinson.
You
cannot do it with Kevin Jones. Like, there, we know players where it's like you literally are struggling sometimes to get to them to get their shots. But we do know some players that we just, like, they take 25 seconds. And that's fine. We have no complaints. Sometimes it's great for us.
Yeah.
We know we can squeeze shots in.
Alfred asks, any new skip ace features, adjustments, etc. for next season?
Yes. New developer. The gentleman who... So, real quick history. I developed the site way back when in Macromedia Dreamweaver. So, I'm going to date myself. Mid-2000s. That's when I first... No, I'm sorry. Late 2000s, I believe, is kind of when I first started really pushing it out. Mid to late 2000s. And at some point, I wanted to do things that I didn't know how to do, so I brought on a gentleman named Joel, who was who lives here in Milwaukee, and he helped me kind of upgrade the site to the more modern version of what it is, from the old just pure PHP and HTML to more of a framework system. And then at some point, he was like, "Hey, I don't have time to do this. I have other clients who pay way more than you do." And I was like, okay, I get that. And he pushed me to another developer who lived out in Salt Lake City. And then, strangely enough, the guy who lived in Salt Lake City actually moved to Milwaukee here. And I had...
just attracting all the people.
Exactly. And so I had lunch with him a couple months ago. Now, he is actually this other developer that I had been working with. He took a full-time position with another company where he gets to develop a team and whatnot. And so I was looking for a new developer. I sent an email out, and the Joel gentleman who helped me do it says, like, I'm actually now part of a two-man crew, so I have got more time if you would like to work with me again. And I thought that was great. So I'll be working with Joel again. And as far as new features, the big one that I'm really, really excited for that we're going to start developing November 1st is live scoring. So I will be able to actually update scores on the fly. So you'll be able to log in at any point and see your score. And normally it works where you have to wait. We wait overnight, all the scores process and run, and then it goes from there. Like, then you look the next day, like, oh, cool, I'm standing here. That's fine, it works, but we'll be able to do live scoring now. So, and that is because we will have some access to more granular data. Not all the data I'd love to have. I'd love to get into the UDisc data and get like C1, C2, scramble, all those fun things, but that just has not worked out for 5 years or so. They're a very busy crew. But I do have access to the scoring data, so raw scores. So there'll be a new scoring format that will rely on birdies, bogeys, anything you can kind of try to do with actual scoring. Maybe stacking is what I'm calling it, where you'll be able to have multiple birdies in a row will get you more points. Like, oh, he scored 3 birdies in a row, that's a bonus point or whatever it is. Or 2 bogeys in a row is a negative bonus point, whatever you want to do. Things like that. Maybe one of the features, and I don't know for sure if this is going to make it or not, but like a hard hole bonus. So you look at all the UDisc stats, and which are just, who has done birdie or better. Is it less than 10%? Then maybe if your player got it, you get a bonus. Maybe you get a penalty for easy. If your player misses an easy birdie, did more than 50% of the field birdie it or better? Your player didn't. Maybe you're going to get lose points for that. So things that you can extract from scoring data will be in it. Again, I still don't have access, and I don't know if I ever will, to be honest, to C1, C2, scramble. I don't know if I'll ever have access to that stuff, but the actual scoring data we will. So there's going to be more points related to that. That's the really big thing this offseason that we're going to be working on. That's a whole new format, scoring format, and the live scoring will be the real focus of what we're doing. I have a new format in mind that I'm not going to make public yet, and I don't know if I'm going to, because I don't know if we're going to get to it this off season. It all depends on how much we can get done in like the 2 to 3 months that we have before the season starts. But the new format I have is it could be really fun, and I'm really hoping to implement it maybe next year. We'll see how it goes. Could be like a middle of the year kind of thing where a new format is pushed out, because it's not really dependent on events. It's more player driven. So we'll talk about that in a future version. But other than that, that's like the big one that we're working on, live scoring, and that there's a couple little features that we're obviously going to be pushing out there. I really want to have a little bit better draft board, some more data for the players, for our premium members. So like things like average draft pick and maybe point score, what's your average point scoring every week for each individual player. I think we already have average finish position, things like that. I want to make that better. I've got more ideas, but obviously the more ideas I have, the more money I have to pay to make that happen. So it's going to be different, but I'm really excited for finally having live scoring, which means I'm also, if you know anybody that would like to pay a bunch of money to me to be like the sponsor of the live scoring page, I'm here for it. And I'm guessing
I got $50.
That's not going to be enough, Terry.
I mean, it's 50 more than you're getting.
It is right now. And maybe I'll come to you for that $50 if nobody else shows
no
up.
No other better offer shows up.
If no other better offer shows up.
Did I say 50? I meant 25.
Yeah. And I'm, I'm not shy about sharing some of the stuff. I think the site had about 1.5 million views. That's not impressions. An impression is an ad. So like UDisc, they rotate their ads every 10 or 15 seconds, I think. And so each one of those ads is an impression, which is different than a view. A view is like basically a page when it loads. So we had about 1.5 million page loads this season. And so, yeah, so that's like some of the advertising information that hopefully I'll be able to put. And I don't know what the live scoring will bring. Maybe it'll bring more. I mean, if we get people sitting on that page because they want to kind of keep an eye on their scores, that could be way bigger. So I'm hoping to maybe pull in some sponsor for that. I think that would be kind of cool. But if you're interested and you're listening out there, if you're one of the major manufacturers or Barbasol, put it on your face, put it on my website. I can do that too. We'll see.
My only main follow up to some of the new features would be if I show up 3 minutes before my tee time at an A tier.
Yeah.
Can there be a stat for like penalty strokes for missed for the two stroke penalty?
Is it on the PDGA page? Like does the PDGA keep track?
I mean,
I'll
get the penalty strokes.
Yeah, but I don't know how that would be assessed. Would that be assessed?
I think it said you get two penalty strokes, which is kind of crazy because obviously if you miss a hole, you get par plus four.
Yep.
But I think they explicitly said earlier when I was perusing that it's just a two-stroke penalty. Assuming you play the hole, it would be a two-stroke penalty.
Correct. So if you didn't show up and you missed the first hole, is that a two-stroke penalty plus the par plus four?
It's a good question. I would think not, but that is worth a follow-up.
Yeah, because like if you don't show up for hole one, let's say you're in a traffic jam.
Yep.
Crap, I can't get there. I'm going to be late. I'm not going to be able to show up until the players are down the fairway on hole one.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Mm-hmm. I didn't.
So you have to join with them on hole two.
On hole two. I didn't check in 5 minutes prior, so mm-hmm. There's two strokes. I miss hole one, par plus four. Now I'm technically hole one is
you're
the most.
You're six over.
You're six over par.
And it's a par five, so you've just taken an 11.
Yeah. No!
Like, that's a great follow-up. Yeah. And it might even actually be on
you know the
page that I didn't look.
Tomorrow, but I'll have a message from MTL. He'll let me know.
Yeah, there you go. all right, a couple other quick housekeeping notes. Sean and Sheila Callahan celebrated their 14-year anniversary technically now yesterday. I want to get it in there. Just the great crew down there in Illinois. And, you know, we've seen some awesome events down there, and they do a lot of good stuff along with the pro shop. They had a 14-year anniversary yesterday. I thought I wanted to get that in there for a shout-out. Also,
Ray asked, did we see the eclipse over the weekend?
I did not.
It was very cloudy here in Milwaukee, so it was kind of tough to see it. There were one or two pictures I saw from the Milwaukee area where people kind of caught a little bit between the clouds, but it was not very prevalent here.
Another thing I want to quickly mention is we saw earlier, if you look on UDisc, there is an event going on this weekend for the Euro Tour. And I clicked on something else for the standings to see that if you go to MBO for the Euro Tour, Paul McBeth is winning that. And I don't know how many events are left, but I don't know if he has a chance to actually get passed or not. Yakub Semerad is in second with 375 points. Nicholas Antelas in third with 338. Let's see, Silver, who we know as with 294. Miro is in fourth. But anyway, Scott Stokely's up there in sixth. Anyway, so it's kind of funny that...
I don't think Paul's showing up to the finale.
I don't know if he is, if that is the finale. Somebody, I'm sure, from the PDGA Euro Tour could let us know.
Fairly certain...
This weekend is the finale?
No, I'm thinking the EPT. I'm thinking the European Pro Tour.
I certainly cannot keep them all straight. I'm not sure, but nonetheless, I thought that was kind of funny that he is currently leading the Euro Tour. Which I'm sure has probably been made otherwise somewhere else. But I feel like this weekend's the last. As far as I can see, it looks like this weekend would be the last weekend. The question is, how many points are on the line and who has signed up for it? Mm. Or if this is just the finals.
Yeah, all this talk about player of the year and Calvin versus, you know, Gannon versus Isaac. No one's talking about Paul's dominance of the Euro Tour.
Yeah, exactly.
That just gets thrown out the door because it's not your American Disc Golf Pro Tour. Gosh.
So USA centric, I tell you guys. And the tee times, I don't know. I didn't want to click on that and find out what time those are at because I'm not going to make it. Anyway, is it Andalusia is taking place? Andalusia Open is taking place in Spain this weekend. So, wish I was there. That'd be fun.
That would be a lot of fun. Let's go.
I see Silver is playing. I don't see.
Let's just go.
Niklas.
No. Let's fly out tomorrow.
Yakub is there. So maybe, I don't know, maybe he can earn enough points to overtake Paul for the season. We'll see.
I got the Smashbox credit card. We'll go.
That's a good idea. I could get down with that. Ryan Pilcher's chiming in on the board saying you wouldn't get extra strokes for that. You'd only get the par plus four.
How do you know?
That may or may not have been asked somewhere else.
Maybe.
Okay, so only the championship is left, the finale. That's probably what this technically is this weekend. So the question is, can more points be earned, and is it a higher? So if Yakub were to win... And is it worth 125 or 150 points? Or is the point scoring already been established and therefore Paul is officially the winner? That's kind of the question. All right. I think we could get ready for some giveaways.
Some giveaway stuff?
At least one. Now there's a conversation about what? Kale, eggplant, onions. I hate onions. Just don't like them. Not gonna
like any onion?
Not like if it's mixed in on a Philly cheesesteak with some green peppers and red peppers and jalapenos and black olives, it's tolerable. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, pretty much a pass for me. They just stink.
Not in a salad.
No, definitely not in a salad.
Like raw onion.
Onion is the worst onion. If it's cooked into something, it's usually tolerable. I'll still prefer to not have it. However, raw onion is. Loud and disgusting.
Loud?
And smelly. Yeah, smelly loud.
Smelly loud.
Never
heard smelly
loud. I'm
going
to say
before,
loud and smelly.
I'll give you that. I don't mind, like, onions in my salad.
Gross.
Like the round red onions that they cut, they're sliced. It's not bad. I don't like cooked onions at all. I don't want them on really anything. And if they're on something, I'll throw it back at the person. No, I just, I don't tolerate that. The only thing I really...
Tolerate that.
I don't tolerate that, Terry.
No, you don't.
The only thing I can kind of stand onions in is a salad because I'm probably dumping some sort of sauce on it. Gross. Ranch or Parmesan peppercorn.
Still, none of those.
I don't mind as much. But even then, just a little light onion.
It's not enough cover up.
I don't want a heavy onion, so... Patreon.com/SmashboxTV where you can get all of our onion takes.
Mm-hmm.
We've got our own separate onion podcast.
Mm-hmm.
So you can tune in to our onion podcast every...
Late Tuesday night.
It's every late Tuesday night. And for those of you that are wondering, Patreon now offers a free tier, which you can subscribe to our channel. We haven't They just started it last week. We're not really doing anything with the free tier yet.
Not yet. And we might not.
And we might never. If you want to be eligible for our weekly giveaway, you have to be in the paid tier. So that's at least just $1 a month. Just $1 a month, and you can be eligible for our weekly giveaway. You can also be eligible for our weekly giveaway if you go to smashbox.tv/weekly giveaways, and every week you need to register for that. Like this week, there's a few people that registered. It was, as they always, Glenn Reiser.
It was Glenn.
Pleasure to meet you, Glenn. Yarno, Robert, and Christopher. So we got
appreciate you guys.
Those four people who, and there's two or three of them that do it every single week. I don't know if they set up some sort of script or a reminder, but as long as you go in and you register every week, your name will be added to this list and you'll be included in the dollar and above patrons. But if you don't want to think about it and you just want to be eligible, it only costs you $1 a week, although or $1 a month at the least. We prefer $1 a week. And even more so, we love you if you do $5 a week. I'm just saying. That's it. So, patreon.com/smashboxtv. Terry, we have 132 people that are eligible for our giveaway this week. Ooh, how do you want to do this?
Ricky won $40,000.
The 40,000
iterations running through the script. But it was his third time, I think, claiming the Disc Golf Pro Tour Championship. So with that, we draw three numbers.
Three numbers. Our first number is 31. Our second number is 132, so the highest it could have been. I'm going to go it's lower than 132.
Oh, you're so bold.
Just making a
you
bold
You are
prediction.
Such a bold statistician. Holy cow.
The
B-132.
B-132 again. Number is 69,
69.
Dudes.
69. As you take a look,
69 is Joseph Thomas. Congratulations, Joseph Thomas. I sorted it by email address, by the way.
Ah, yes.
So that
clearly
his email starts with a K for some reason. But Joseph Thomas, you won. He is a $3 patron and has been for quite a while. So thank
you very
much,
you, Joseph. Thank you.
I will send your information to Terry Miller. And we will do, speaking of which, we need to get on the yearly discs.
Yes.
So we got to start talking to some of our manufacturing friends about getting our discs for our $3 and above patrons. If you have been a $3 and above patron, you will be eligible for the disc that we give away every single year. We send it out to all of the $3 and above patrons so that you can get the yearly Smashbox.
Yeah,
disc.
So there's a good chance we're losing money on you, depending on how much you're providing us, and we're okay with that.
We're okay with that.
By the time we get a disc and then ship it to you.
Yeah.
And maybe you only give us $1 a month.
No, then they don't get it. They have to give
them $3.
$3
a month. $3 a month.
So at most, you give us $36 a year. You know, it depends on where we're shipping it. We're still making a few bucks, but we're just happy that you're a Patreon supporter, and you also get access to the podcast early. You'll get it tonight, right after I render it out. You're the first people I upload it to. So if for some reason you are maybe you work at night and you can't listen, but suddenly your podcast catcher says, "Bing, hey, look, Smashbox is there."
Time to download that. I can go to sleep to those a-holes. Wade, all good. Hope you're doing well. You said that you're taking some medication that makes you do some out of the ordinary things. Well, I hope you're doing well. I will send in a formal apology, and I'll say it here.
Oh, formal apology.
A semi-formal. I mean, it'll get sent via, Instagram DMs. A gentleman reached out to me this weekend and was frustrated that the stream had cut out during the FPO. Was frustrated with it.
It was a Vimeo issue.
Which was, of course, was a Vimeo issue. Nonetheless, I can understand it being frustrating.
Certainly.
I maybe got a little frustrated with some of the tone in which he essentially said, "Hey, is it going to be broke this afternoon? And you guys aren't even trying to fix this." Of course, we're trying to fix it. However, in sending something back that had a little bit of a cocky tone to it, because I felt I was addressed that way, then we had a back and forth, and he essentially feels like the broadcast is my job. And it is. I talk on the broadcast, but it is not exclusively my job to fix a Vimeo issue.
The technical issues.
A technical issue of this scale and magnitude, no matter what I do, no matter who I scream to, no matter how much I beg and plead or how much money I hand over, I do not have enough money to fix said technical issue. My analogy that I then came up with yesterday, because originally I said that's like, and I don't claim to be him, but that's like Troy Aikman, like you complaining to Troy Aikman while he's doing the broadcast at an NFL game about the wrong graphics on the Jumbotron. Like, that's not Troy. Like, that's not him, right? Like, there's a million other people that would be able to fix that or address that before Troy Aikman. I was thinking of that from a broadcast perspective, but I think a more similar but yet more appropriate analogy would be that's like showing up to the gate agent who's checking your bag at the airline and saying, hey, is this effing plane going to go up in time today or is it going to be broken like all of your other planes? And then yelling and getting frustrated with the woman who or man who's checking my bags. Like, I understand your frustration. That bag ticket taker is not the appropriate channel. And yes, it is their job to fly people. But again, he or she has nothing to do with the actual physical functioning of a plane.
And as we've said for the last few weeks, it's already well known that Disc Golf Pro Tour is probably not going to be on Vimeo next year. There has already been talks of Jeff made this announcement, I think, to some of the players. He talked about it on another podcast. There will be a different provider. Now, again, as I've said, let's keep the expectations low. It'll be a new service. There will be hiccups along the way, but ultimately, this will probably be better in the long run. But the short run, there might be some glitches. So just
not the MVP disc either.
I mean, maybe Disc Golf Pro Tour will give out glitches. I don't know, but just be prepared. I think that there will be some in the next, I would guess in the next month and a half to 2 months, you'll probably hear something. I don't know when they're going to announce it. I know a little bit behind the scenes stuff, so I'm fairly certain of it.
I wouldn't hold Johnny to anything.
But don't hold me to anything.
Good night, Alfred. Good to see you. And no, WT Force Wade, that was not you that was sending. It was another gentleman, and I have since then thought about it. We had a heated exchange where he was getting really frustrated with me as if I didn't care. I do care. But again, you're getting wrong at the wrong guy. When the stream had broken down.
I would tell somebody if it was like a control room problem, like, oh man, someone's computer crashed at the control room and it wrecked a bunch of stuff. Flat out that this was, which has happened in the past, sure. Not this year, in previous years where power went out or something. This was flat out just a Vimeo issue. There was a glitch at Vimeo side. There was nothing we could do about it. And that's just
nonetheless, and some people may not care about that.
It's frustrating, and I understand.
And it is frustrating,
you're paying for a service.
But just know, screaming at me, and I'm not trying to pass the buck, but screaming at me is not going to get us anyone too far. What did I'm sorry, I saw a very legitimate question asked about. Terry only has to travel almost 1,000 miles to Ben to do live. Do you think it would be reasonable for Terry or Charlie to remotely do their commentary? Yeah. And Charlie doesn't travel to Ben generally, but, he has once or twice.
Would it be reasonable? Sure. Would it be as good of a quality? No. Part of the thing that, there's a system behind the scenes called Sienna. And one of the things that I know the control room is going to work on in the off season is hopefully working out some of the commentator solutions. So it's a technical issue, which is why we see the second to second and a half delay on some of the calls. It's just, it's physics. You know, the signal has to go from one place all the way over to Bend and then come back to Amazon in the cloud. And then we send it out, but it's a thing, which is why there's a little delay on their commentary. With the Sienna tool, it might cut that delay down. If we're lucky, maybe we can get it to about a half a second or a few frames, so to speak, where it would not feel as obvious. That is the hope. There is some testing that has to be done yet. There are options. I know there's a very complicated way that Gary found where he can really mess with the commentators as long as they're off the screen. And if we go back to the booth, as we do maybe once a show, to just check in with the booth, there has to be a whole undo button where we just undo like the delay so that their mouth isn't 2 seconds off or a second and a half off from their face, and then turn it back on when we go back to action. So it's much more complicated. I'm hoping that the Sienna tool, that with the testing they do, that they find out that it is a tolerable delay of only a few frames, you know, which obviously a frame is a 30th or a 60th of a second, depending on, you know, what we're filming at, and that maybe it would only be like at most a half a second of delay, which would be very almost unnoticeable for 99.9% of the time, as opposed to now when most people don't notice, except like I would say 90% of the time or 85% of the time, people don't notice the delay until, you know, you see someone just barely miss, and then a second and a half, one of the commentators goes, "Oh, he was so close." And mm-hmm. then we have already seen it roll out of bounds or something. Those are the most notable times. And again, thankfully, I guess it's nothing Terry nor I have to work on anymore. But as far as remote commentary, if the Sienna project works, it could be better for remote commentators if they weren't in the same place, but it's still not ideal because there's so much behind the scenes that happens that you guys maybe don't see, whether it's looks or hand signals or shoulder rubs. I don't know what they do in the commentary booth. I don't get a chance to watch it, mm-hmm. but I'm just assuming that Terry's like, you know, giving both Nate's shoulder rubs during the show.
Say this, and then I whisper in their ear.
Yeah.
Say this. Set me up for this stupid dad joke. Say it. I'm so punny. I've got something.
So who knows? I mean, maybe this remote commentary thing can get better and be more reasonable. Maybe it doesn't. Maybe we still have to fly people around. I don't know.
I just want to touch on a few more things before we go here soon. JDXN11 says, I canceled my renewal because the stream always went down. Hearing there could be more glitches confirms I won't sign back up. Don't take too much of what Johnny just said and like roll with it in that sense. First of all, let me just start here. The off season will have very little streaming of live stuff. So there's going to be a ton of off-season content that the network has worked really hard for you to enjoy. So I will say that, and I'm not trying to like regain you as a subscriber necessarily. But yeah, so there won't be any glitches there. And second of all, it's not so much that the stream will go down. We're not projecting or claiming that could potentially happen more. We're talking about the player in which it's on may or may not have some increased functionality that may or may not be 100% ready to go, or may have an additional challenge or two. But
yeah,
it's not like we're projecting, hey, there were 39 instances of challenges and we're expecting 47 next year. Like, that's not what we're trying to say. Just know that with any new product, clearly there could still be some form of potential hiccup or challenge to it. That and we're not guaranteed that.
No,
but there certainly is the possibility. You can buy a brand new car, right? You could trade in your 20-year-old perfectly driving used car, get a brand new car. That brand new car next week could still have something blow on it. Like, it's possible. Mm-hmm. That's what we're, I guess, in essence, trying to get across. So.
Yeah, basically, I'm saying is set your expectations at the right level. You're moving from one system to a new system. Not every feature might be there. As far as like hiccups and stuff, I'm very confident that there will be that they will be fully tested, thoroughly tested, that they will have a good workflow down. I'm thinking personally that the old system, I could do a search for, you know, a USDGC and it would bring me this, and now when I search for USDGC it brings me here, and it's just different. Like, there will be a learning curve. There could be things that get rolled out not immediately, but as far as like reliability, I'm pretty confident in the reliability of what they're moving to.
And this kind of goes back to one of my points earlier. Clearly the network and the staff and the pro tour and the investors and everyone else is always trying to improve. No one is knowingly saying, man, this might work way worse, but let's roll the dice and see if it actually works worse for us, because that's what we're expecting. Of course, no one's saying that. We're looking for constant improvements now. If there'll be large scale or small scale, I don't make any of those decisions or promises. However, just know that the intent is always to grow and improve.
And I know they
really think otherwise, that's just crazy.
In the off season, I think I heard they really want to upgrade like all the cameras on the on-course cameras, because just as you can imagine, all the travel, these guys are really good with the equipment, but just, I mean,
the sheer wear and tear.
Sheer wear and tear. They take abuse, and if you probably have to replace a camera like this every 2 to 3 years, I would think. And some of these cameras might be 4 or 5 years old. So I know they're hoping to be able to replace a bunch of the cameras with different equipment.
But again, we're making none of said promises.
Oh, God, no. I don't even know if it would.
Just to be clear.
Oh, God. You probably wouldn't even notice from your perspective based on
the image cameras. Quality.
Because it's still all going through a cellular signal. So that is. But I do know that they're looking at, hopefully, new cameras. And I'm just saying that from a money perspective, like Terry says, like they're always looking at improving. They're always spending money on the broadcast to make it better. So there's a lot they want to do. And I talked to Gary and he's like, yeah, I'd love to have this and this for the commentators, but that's going to cost money. And they want to do this and that. And it's just, there's only so much you can do in an off season. Just like the players need a little bit of break. The booth as well only has just a few months to roll out a bunch of new stuff, and you have to test it and all this other stuff. So it's crazy. Like the off season is really just the off season for the players. There's a lot of people that aren't getting that.
Brad writes, are we going to have our grudge match at Dela next spring, Terry? Probably not. If I'm in a position to play Dela and you're around and you're not insanely obnoxious, yeah, then maybe we could play. But I'm not like making a special trip or plan to get over there. There's something else that Wade...
DGPT is totally incompetent. Everyone knows paywalls do nothing but hinder revenue.
Did somebody write that?
Yeah, that's what Brad Clayton wrote.
Yeah, Brad. It shows how...
Is that Disclaster?
It shows how bright he can be.
Completely not true.
Wade said, I'm thinking, why don't they have the booth at the brewery? The brewery is a couple miles from their house. I'm not saying it'll never go there again, but there is something to be said about being up at 4 or 5 in the morning and getting ready as they need to. Usually it's Val for the early East Coast things. And then walking right out into, at this point, the garage or whatever room we're using at their house. And now the fact that they also have an 11 or 12 week old, having it all at the house is far more conducive currently and just makes way more sense for them. And to me, it doesn't really matter whether I'm at the brewery or I'm in their garage, as long as they are, I don't know, well lit and have the appropriate temperature. It would do us no good to be at the brewery, I guess is what I'm really trying to say.
There's
no advantage to being at the brewery. The point is, for the most part, that I'm flying to them. So rather than flying two commentators who now have a child out to somewhere else to meet with me potentially, we have the luxury of or the built-in established internet connection. Everything is pretty static at their house or whatever location we use, but everything's static there.
Yeah, from a remote perspective, I said this about even the on-course booth, that if it's not literally on the course, then it feels like there's no point in having an on-course booth that's still remote, that's like 2 miles away at an Airbnb. That just for the most part doesn't make any sense. Just like it wouldn't matter if it was at the brewery or at Doss's house or here in my basement or wherever that may be, a remote is remote. So unless you're literally on the course, I kind of feel like as far as the commentators go, it doesn't really matter where it is. obviously Terry would like to sleep in. He doesn't necessarily love those early West Coast days.
East Coast days, yeah, not at all.
Well, early on the West Coast for you.
You're right, exactly. Eric says, I'm surprised they're not cameramen in deer stands and trees and wooded courses. I mean, we've dabbled in some of that philosophy. Yeah. The problem is that because we have so many cameramen that need to follow from hole to hole with the actual play, and even then, I mean, take Nevin as a great example. And actually, it was at Hornet's Nest a few years ago. We put a couple guys up in some deer stand, so to speak. Mm-hmm. The big challenge is you're playing hole, we'll just make up a hole like 16. It's only 270 feet. You hit first available, which is like 30 feet off the tee, and you kick hard left. No one's seeing that. You know, if you have quote unquote static cameras that are up in trees. Now, could there be additional cameras that are up there in addition to the two or three that are already on the hole? In theory, yes. But I guess then we're going to make an argument. Would you rather have potentially four cameras on a given hole along, you know, because you have two or three walking and then one or two in trees? Or would you rather have two additional cameras on an entirely different card? And I'm not completely dismissing what you're saying. It's, as always, it comes down to where is your money and resources best spent? To have that third or fourth or fifth camera in a with a couple in trees, or to have them on an entirely different hole following along as we do in a normal capacity. So, yeah, and it always comes down to how tough it is to film in any course as we're traversing through 11,000 feet of terrain. That's only tee to pin, not including the individual hole walks and then everything else that, and the walking back and forth when people are spraying all over fairways. It's just very, very difficult.
Yeah. This particular weekend, I saw a lot of this in my cameras. And that means when I see this in the cameraman, it means that we're splitting up, which means one person's on the left, one person's on the right. So beware that the cameras are going to be on opposite sides of the fairway, because at Nevin, everybody hits and everybody goes a different direction. So the cameramen have like different hand signals depending on what's going on to help signal to me what's going on. So I saw a lot of the devil horns this particular weekend.
Mickey Nilsson says, good morning. Is this longer than normal? Yeah, our show is we usually wrap up right around the 3-hour mark. Tonight, here we are, 3 hours and 45 minutes, but we're going to be wrapping up here soon. So depending on where you are, probably somewhere over in Europe, we're still rolling.
Good morning.
Good morning to you. Is there a fiber line at the Doss house? I don't think it's not a fiber line. I don't know exactly how good, but I know there is extended connection, connectivity of a much higher speed than your standard house line. And I think there is also some redundancy built in with another form of internet connection there, which, as we've said, you know, another huge advantage just for instance, me going there and us using that place is, if you're at an Airbnb or you're at some other random place set up, if the booth internet goes down, and that's how we're, you know, sharing everything with you guys, the booth internet goes down and you don't have a secondary internet service built in, the booth is down. Like, mm-hmm. And that could be 2 minutes, that could be 2 hours and 22 minutes. You don't know. So having some of those things built into a more stationary location is yet another advantage.
Yeah.
Because if there's something that can go wrong, it has. At some point in the last 8 years.
We've run through the gamut. At least we think we've run through the gamut of almost everything that's gone wrong, could go wrong at some point. Yeah, I was thinking, as you were saying that, being at like a Airbnb doing remote commentary and your internet goes out, you're not even in control of that
internet service. Yeah.
You might not even know who it is. Like, oh, who's the internet provider in Asheville, North Carolina, where we happen to be or something. You're like, I don't know, is it Comcast, Cox, HBC,
Spectrum, Verizon.
Just, it could be anything. And then you can't even call because you're not the account owner.
Yeah.
You're just like, oh, maybe I call the Airbnb host, but they're going to be like, okay, dude.
Yeah, it's 8:30. I'm really, doing stuff.
Really funny.
And they get back to you at 2:30 in the afternoon. So. Yeah, there's a challenge there.
Before we wrap up the show, I see one more thing with Brian and Ray saying Brian Earhart needed to volunteer on Sunday. He had to push his own live view card around. That is the first time I've seen Brian do that. I'm sure he's done it before, but he you know, some people keep it in a backpack. He had it in like a disc or a golf cart.
There's only one reason for that.
In front of him.
It's because he was following the likes of Big Germ, who clearly didn't want to wear the backpack.
So Germ, I think, had a Rovik card of sorts and forced the idea onto Brian the first day Germ had joined us. And then by the second or final day, and when they had to split up, Germ, I'm sure, said, well, I'm taking my cart. And then Brian probably was like, well, this cart thing's not so bad. And probably. So then Brian, and then I'm assuming, probably helped acquire yet another cart. Maybe he's got a backup cart. I don't know what he's doing these days. But yeah, and that's been said before, whether it's a cart or I've had a few volunteers who have graciously carried it for me, or if there's some way to integrate a Zooka, you know, sponsorship, those are all possibilities of, alternatives. But that was completely infused by one big Germ.
I would assume so.
Who's used to pushing his stroller thing around. So,
stroller.
I mean,
it does look like a stroller.
You push it a lot like a stroller, that's for sure. Tom over there, I know you're even in East Coast time, probably over in Michigan. Thanks for joining along. I hope you're doing well, buddy. Good to see you. All right, guys. I think with that, we've answered most of the significant questions. You guys can argue another day about paywalls and advertising and money and sponsors. My only suggestion would be any of you think you can do it better, smarter, cheaper, easier, please do. I think everyone would love to see another option and another, team tackle it. But just know that at the end of the day, a business has to be sustainable in some capacity. And it may not be the way you would do it, but you're also not running that business. So that would be my encouragement to you to go out and prove anyone else wrong that you don't feel like they're doing it the right way. We're going to call it. We're going to thank you guys for joining us. It's been a long night. Most of you are still here with us, which is crazy. Some of you are just waking up on the other parts of the world. We love you and appreciate you guys all for tuning in to the live show. Thank you to Ricky Wysocki, who joined us earlier. We're kicking off the off season, so to speak, but we're going to have a ton of great guests, lots of people to catch up with, I'm sure, over the next few months. And then we'll also probably integrate some additional content or games or some other fun stuff that might unfold. Anything's possible. So you guys have a good night. Be safe. What did Ellen say? Take care. No. Never mind.
I never watched Ellen. No.
Well, it's because it was toxic over there.
I didn't watch before it was toxic, nor after it was toxic.
It's toxic here. For Johnny V, I'm the Disc Golf Guy.
Toxic.
We'll see you next week. Thank you for joining us for Smashbox TV 476's after show. We'll see you next week when you step inside the Smashbox.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Welcome back to Two Judgy Girls. I'm Mary from the Bay.
And I'm Courtney from LA. TJG is the podcast where we spill all the tea on your favorite reality TV shows, celebrity gossip, and everything in between. We're here to bring you our unfiltered opinions, hilarious commentary, and plenty of laughs along the way.
We're two SDSU Delta Gamma sisters with a microphone and a whole lot of opinions. Each week, we dive headfirst into the wild world of reality television, from Bravo to all the trash TV you could want. We break down the drama, dissect the latest scandals, and share our thoughts on everything from the jaw-dropping moments to the embarrassing antics.
But that's not all. We're not here to just gossip. We're here to connect with you, the jurors, and share our love of all things pop culture. Whether we're dishing on the latest celebrity breakups, discussing our favorite guilty pleasure movies, or sharing embarrassing stories from our own lives, we promise to keep it real, keep it fun, and keep you coming back for more.
Come judge with us.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.